like it's an object you can own. No consideration that it's someone else's home. Animals get tired, cause all the evil's gone. And all the trees and rivers, they will slowly come undone. And we're angry.
Yeah, we're angry.
And we're sad.
Yeah, we're sad.
We can't believe it.
No, we can't.
Premiered at Sunday's March to End Fossil Fuels here in New York Sunday from the new climate change musical by the playwright V, formerly known as Eve Ensler, scheduled to open next year. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Sunday's March to End Fossil Fuels culminated in a rally after some 75,000 people marched to the streets of Manhattan toward the United Nations, where world leaders are gathering this week for the United Nations General Assembly that includes a climate ambition summit Wednesday. While the rally addressed world leaders, it focused on President Biden with a banner over the stage at the rally saying, "Biden, end fossil fuels." Among those who spoke was New York Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, along with local and international grassroots activists. These are some of their voices. This is UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador Vanessa Nakate, who is the first Fridays for Future climate activist in Uganda.
Before stepping here, my friend and sister, Helena Gwalinga, an Ecuadorian environmental and human rights activist from the Kichwa Sarayaku community, said something to me that everyone here and beyond needs to hear. She said, "We should look at Ecuador that just voted out an active oil project in the Yasuni rainforest. This is the first example of climate democracy." She added and said, "This is what phase out of fossil fuels looks like. They are now protecting the most diverse place on this planet. And this was led by youth and indigenous people. This is why there is no climate justice without indigenous people. In 2020, I wrote a letter to President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris that said, "All we really want is a livable and healthy planet, an equitable and sustainable present and future. Is that too much to ask?" This letter received a lot of support, but I was also trolled for it. Those that trolled focused on the pen that wrote it and ignored the message. They preferred the perfection in which it could have been delivered and ignored the bigger picture. For them, it wasn't about the message. It was about who wrote it and how it was written. I have learned that this world hasn't been changed and transformed by perfect people. It has been transformed by people who dreamed and envisioned a better world for all of us. It has been transformed by people who stood so that we stand. People who believed so that we believe. People who dreamed so that we dream. I was 23 when I wrote that letter, and now I'm 26. My older self fully understands why I wrote it. My younger self was worried for the future of the planet, communities, and people on the front lines of the climate crisis. On September 10, Storm Daniel dumped more than 2 feet of rain on parts of Greece. But as it traveled over the Mediterranean, it was boosted by sea temperatures that were 2 to 3 degrees warmer than average for early September. That extra warmth fueled stronger winds and allowed the air to hold even more moisture. The storm turned into a Mediterranean storm with the characteristics of a tropical cyclone. As Storm Daniel approached Libya, the storm dumped rain over the mountains above the coastal city of Derna. In one place, more than a foot of rain fell in 24 hours. 2 dams that had been constructed in the hills above Derna collapsed. A torrent of water swept down the hills and through the city. Thousands of people were dragged out to sea. Huge sections of the city were completely destroyed, and bodies are still washing up on the beaches. And now aid workers fear that a second humanitarian crisis is unfolding as the citizens of Derna face the growing risk of waterborne diseases amidst medicine and food shortages. 2 days after Daniel tore through Derna, a report by Oil Change International showed that just 20 countries are responsible for nearly 90% of extraction from new oil and gas fields planned between 2030 and 2050. 5 global north countries with the greatest economic means to rapidly phase out production are responsible for a majority 51% of planned expansion from new oil and gas fields through 2050. That is the United States, Canada, Australia, Norway, and the United Kingdom. The United States alone accounts for more than 1/3 of planned global oil and gas expansion through 2050. Historically, the United States is responsible for 29% of global greenhouse gas emissions. The entire continent of Africa, 54 individual countries, is responsible for less than 4%. This is wrong. This is no climate leadership. This is throwing a party when you know that your neighbor is mourning. The global north has long benefited from the extraction of fossil fuels, and over again, the global south has suffered the consequences. Well, I am now here to say to the fossil fuel industry, not anymore. We are here to say to big oil CEOs, not anymore. We call upon countries, and in particular the United States, to end new development of fossil fuels that are destroying livelihoods and lives, because we cannot eat coal and we cannot drink oil. Today, I am not writing another letter to the president, as the last one must have got lost in the mail. I'm standing on the strength of service and the strength of community to ask the President of the United States to do the right thing, to be the climate leader that the United States needs to be. We also call upon leaders at COP28 to agree on a just and equitable phase out of fossil fuels. We will not stand by and let this destruction continue to happen. We will not stand by and let our communities to be destroyed. We will not stand by and let people's lives get lost as climate disasters become worse. Because we refuse to accept that anymore. So as a community, we have the power to stand together and say not anymore. Because when we come together and gather like this and speak together, I hear revolution. When we chant and say, what do we want? And we say we want climate justice, I see a revolution. And change happens because of people who come on the streets. And we've seen that in the past. We'll see it today, and we'll see it in the years to come. Thank you so much.
My name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The Congresswoman for New York's 14th Congressional District, repping the Bronx and Queens. Do we have any outer borough out here? Got the BX in the building, Queens in the building? I'm so honored to be here today, shoulder to shoulder with you all, because we are all here for the same purpose, to protect the planet, the people, and make sure that we end fossil fuels across the globe. Most importantly, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here and for showing up in force. It means something when people say, oh, we're thinking 10,000 people are going to be here, and 50, 70,000 people show up. That means something because we are in rooms, and I'm in rooms in Washington all the time where people say that they have a commitment to this issue, but we need urgency on this issue right now, right now. And the way that we create urgency on the issue of climate is when we have people all across the world in the streets, showing up, demanding change, and demanding a cessation of what is killing us. We have to send the message that some of us are going to be living on this planet 30, 40, 50 years from now, and we will not take no for an answer. Climate must be a centerpiece of inside and outside organizing, an electoral and a popular force that cannot be ignored. This issue is one of the issues, the biggest issue of our time, and because of that, we must be too big and too radical to ignore. The first piece of legislation I introduced in 2019 was the Green New Deal, which demanded a 10-year timeline. And at the time, people said it was too naive and too unrealistic, and we didn't take no for an answer. We still won't take no for an answer. Since then, we have organized and hit some milestones. Here in New York, organizers won commitments for 100% renewables by 2040. We've made sure new buildings will be fully electric, ensured that not only will new energy be renewable, but it will be available as public, democratically controlled goods for our most vulnerable communities. Because what we're not going to do is go from oil barons to solar barons. This belongs to the people. What we're not going to do is have vulnerable communities in a fossil fuel economy be left behind in a new economy. We are demanding a change so that working people working people get better jobs and lower bills under a renewable energy economy. That is what we are here to make sure that we achieve. We're going to make sure that this transition is union jobs, organized labor, dignity at the center. And we're going to make sure that we continue that fight. But the powers that be are there, and it is real, and it is against us. Right now, the United States continues to be approving record number of fossil fuel leases, and we must send the message right here, today, right now, that that has got to end today. We know they're raking in record profits, but the popular support for climate is starting to buckle and crack that overall grip that the fossil fuel establishment has had in our politics. And that's because of you. Because of you. Don't let the cynics win. The cynics want us to think that this isn't worth it. The cynics want us to believe that we can't win. The cynics want us to believe that organizing doesn't matter, that our political system doesn't matter, that our economy doesn't matter. And we're here to say that we organize out of hope. We organize out of commitment. We organize out of love. We organize out of the beauty of our future. And we will not give up. We will not let go. We will not allow cynicism to prevail. We will not allow our visions of a collaborative economy, of dignity for working people, of honoring the black, brown, indigenous, white working class. We will not give up. And that is what we are here to do today, to tell our leaders, from President Biden to the UN General Assembly, to all of our elected officials, that we demand a change. It will happen now. It begins today. It is occurring today, and it's because of you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Keep marching, and we're going to accomplish this. See ya.
I am Rochetta Sibley Ozan. I am the founder, director, and CEO of the Vessel Project of Louisiana. I'm also the Gulf Fossil Finance Coordinator for Texas Campaign for the Environment Fund. I just want to say this is truly amazing, and thank you all so much for coming out, giving up your Sunday to be here, because the time is now. We are all here to say that enough is enough. To right wrongs is to shine a light of truth on them. On August the 9th, 2023, President Joe Biden bold-faced lied and said that he had declared a climate emergency. As we all know, the president has not declared a climate emergency. What he has declared is a way for oil and gas to further exacerbate the climate crisis. What he has done is sit back and allow his spineless Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to continue to approve new LNG facilities in communities of color. What President Biden has done is allow for the Mound Valley Pipeline to be approved. He has allowed for bedrock environmental law NEPA to be gutted. Enough is enough with this cowardly president. If President Biden is not going to do the job that we voted him in office to do, we are going to vote him out of office. He likes to hide under agencies like the EPA and FERC and the Department of Transportation, but we know that he has the ultimate power of the pen. If he declares a climate emergency and stops the approval of all new extractive industry, then all of our communities will be better for it. Biden, we are holding you personally accountable for the climate-induced disasters that our communities have faced, the record-breaking wildfires in Louisiana and Hawaii, the record-breaking flooding, record-breaking hurricanes year after year after year. You can no longer call these natural disasters because every one of them makes history. What's causing these disasters to be so historic is the amount of fossil fuel extractive industries that are surrounding these communities. If you continue to build on wetlands, these storms are going to come further inland and it's going to continue to destroy our homes and our families. Enough is enough, President Biden. It is time for us to have this president who sits high on a throne and looks down on us and only uses black, brown, and indigenous folk for photo ops and his little puppets when he wants a picture. It is time out. We will no longer march to the White House and take pictures with you so you can put in your repertoire. Come down to our communities and see how we are living. As a black woman, and as a single mom of six children and a new grandbaby, I understand what it's like to live on the front line of climate change. My children have asthma. My sister was diagnosed with cancer. President Biden, how would you like it if it was your family that was dying? You have heard the words of Sharon Lavigne. She has told you about the folks who are dying in Cancer Alley. You've heard the words of John Beard as he talks about the communities in Port Arthur. You've heard Joe and Joy Banner talk about our ancestors and how our ancestral lands are being taken over. You've heard Mari talk about his farm and how MVP is building this pipeline. But President Biden, you might not know these people because to you they're ordinary folks, but these are frontline leaders who are making a difference, and it's time that you listen to them.
I'm Helen. I'm a 16-year-old organizer with Fridays for Future in New York City. I started protesting for climate justice when I was 11. The first sign I made was for the 2019 school strike here in New York City. It said, "We deserve a future." And I'm here today still fighting for that same future. I am just one of the many young people who organized this march and spent their summers building youth turnout. Today, young people are here in massive numbers because we are out of time. In 2020, a record number of us showed up to the polls and put Biden in office. After 4 years of Trump, we were ready to elect a president who promised to end drilling on federal lands and finally address this climate crisis. Yet, in his 2.5 years as president, Biden has gone back on these promises. He greenlit the Willow Project. He skipped environmental review to build the devastating Mountain Valley Pipeline. And he approved countless other fracked gas pipelines and projects in Alaska and the Gulf Coast. His refusal to let go of fossil fuels is destroying us. America's oil and gas expansion makes up 1/3 of the entire global expansion planned through 2050. This is what's pushing us over the 1.5 degree warming threshold that is required to maintain a habitable planet. Because of this, crises are multiplying. This summer alone, New York City's skies turned orange. Libya is flooded. Maui has burned. And countless people died from heat and extreme weather. This is the world Biden and his peers have left for us. But this is not the world we are going to accept. This Friday, over a million of us across the globe protested to end fossil fuels. And today, there are tens of thousands of us out here with one simple message for Biden. You have the executive authority to end oil and gas expansion and keep these fossil fuels in the ground. In 2024, we will be the most powerful voting bloc in the nation. Young people will be. You need our votes to stay in power. And that's why we're demanding you work with us. You declare a climate emergency. You end all drilling right now. You're going to make new promises, promises that are going to empower young people to turn out in 2024 once again. These promises will transition us to community-based renewable energy built by green union jobs. There is not enough time to put this off another term, and all of us will keep up the pressure until it's done. Thank you.
That was 16-year-old Helen Mancini of Fridays for Future NYC speaking Sunday at the March to End Fossil Fuels outside the United Nations. During the rally, activists got a labor update about the historic United Auto Workers strike targeting the big three automakers. On Sunday, talks resumed between the UAW and General Motors, Ford and Stellantis. This is Chris Silvera of Teamsters Local 808.
First of all, let me just say thank you to my IATSE brothers and sisters who are here. This is a union stage. We not like them other people. We got to remember SAG and AFTRA and the UAW. Where's my union brothers and sisters standing up? This is a workers' fight. It is the poor, it is the working class that suffers with these fossil fuel devils. We have to move on. And I'm going to tell you something. If you elected 300 more AOCs, if you elected a president that thought like AOC, if you elected a Senate, I'm not talking about Democrats and Republicans, I'm talking about servants of the people. And labor has to be in the vanguard of this struggle because we have the resources, we have the organization, we have the power to join together with poor communities, with indigenous communities, to say no to any more pipelines. No, because we can live without oil, but we can't live without water. We can live without oil, but we need clean air. And we are here as labor to stand in solidarity with, let me do the count right quick. Woo! Look like about 75,000 people. We are here with you. Power belongs to the people. To the people belong the power. When you go to the polls, don't vote R, don't vote D. Vote for people like AOC. Power to you.
That's Chris Silvera, Secretary-Treasurer of Teamsters Local 808, addressing Sunday's march to end fossil fuels in New York City, where some 75,000 protesters took to the streets with their message for world leaders coming to the UN General Assembly this week. But the banner across the rally stage read, Biden, end fossil fuels. It was the largest U.S. climate mobilization in years. That does it for our show. Special thanks to Laura Bastios and Messiah Rhodes. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Noreen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Masood, and Sanji Lopez. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Hugh Grant, Dennis Moynihan. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of CanadaLand, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
Hi, my name is Taku. I want to say shout out to all the raccoons and campers. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby.
Donations to the